Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
All those things you've been wondering about? Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is The Journey. I've got a super special guest co-host tonight. I've got Clayton Crawford on the line with me. And Clayton Hi, Clayton.
Hi, Jen.
Welcome to The Journey.
I am super happy to be here. Your own show.
I know. Well, it was fun to have you on my other show. But yes, Now here you are on my very, very own show. So I'm super excited to have you on tonight. And I know you're super excited.
Definitely.
Yes.
We have so many things to talk about.
Oh, I know. So it was hard to choose just one thing as a topic. But tonight we have a special treat. We're going to be talking about the advanced truth about empaths, like what everybody should know about that. So I'm excited to share.
Yes.
And I know that you have some questions that you've been collecting from people as well. And of course, we're in the chat room at para-x.com. So if you're listening to us any other way other than there, you can find our live chat room right now at para-x.com and just click to get into the chat room. So you can come in and ask your live questions as we're on the radio tonight. So again, we're talking about empaths, which is people who have the paranormal ability to feel what other people feel. And I know that there are different kinds. People talk about the different kinds of empaths. What do you think about the different kinds, Clayton?
I mean, there's so many depths to each type of empath that it's really hard to summon up. They're all amazing in their own way, you know. I especially find the ones that have gained control over their abilities to be quite extraordinary, because it's not easy to do that. Personally, I think that as far as gifts goes, in my opinion, the gift of being an empath is the hardest gift to deal with, and it is the hardest gift to control or manage. So, you know, people that really have honed their gift and really taken the time to gain control, they're fascinating.
Yes, and you know, a lot of people don't take the time.
No.
They don't take the time to gain control of their ability. And why do you think that is?
A lot of them are mostly fear.
Fear of?
Fear of just being different. Fear of what they're fully capable of. Fear of the unknown. You know, I mean, the list could go on. A fear of their own insecurities. You know, and feeling and lack of self-worth, you know, the list could go on. But yeah, I mean, fear is the main cause, the main root of people. And then, of course, you have the ones that they don't even know they're empaths. You know, they don't even know what an empath is. An untrained empath is a, like, walking, talking nightmare when it comes to, like, their own. Like, I would not want to be an untrained empath, because they don't even know what they're going through and where all these emotions are coming from, and they don't know why they're always depressed. They don't know why they're always in pain. They don't, you know, that would be horrible, you know, to live like that. you go your whole life and not know.
And yet, you know, many people get in well into their adulthood years and start to try to figure it out, you know. So it's awesome when you can figure it out younger and try to get in some control of it, you know.
Yes.
For myself, I tried to shut it off for most of my life.
Me too, still do.
And it wasn't until I embraced it that I started to gain control of it. So, and it was a process. I'm just going to say it was a process. But I've gained a lot of control over it now. I'm not going to say that if I'm tired and I go into a big super, you know, super shopping center that's full of people, that I'm not going to be feeling uncomfortable. I still feel uncomfortable if I'm very tired. But I limit my time in there. If I'm going in there when it's a busy time and I'm feeling tired, or I might go in when it's a slower time of the day or middle of the night.
Definitely.
You know, to avoid the big crowd, or avoid like Christmas time shopping. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Don't want nothing to do with that.
Right. So, it definitely is something that, you know, is on our minds when we're out and about, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of things out there on the internet, and a lot of people write different things about that. And these things get my attention mostly on Facebook when people share something that says, this is me, I'm an empath, and they share something that somebody else wrote. I will read that. You know, I'm not a big book reader, just being honest, but I will read that.
I don't know.
Those things that they share on there, and I'm like, no. Half the time I'm like, no. This was obviously written by somebody who's still struggling with that.
Right.
And then I go, this is going to be difficult for people if they read this and think this is all there is to know about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then they're more likely to not push through it and become the fully developed empath that they could very well become.
Of course.
You know, so, you know, things that we talk about, you know, if you were to do a Google search and look for the types of empaths, you could come up with different lists of different numbers of different kinds of empaths. And, you know, we could go make ourselves crazy looking at all that stuff. I did find one list online that was like 6 basic types of empaths, which would be okay to know about. But in that, I'm just going to say that most of the time, even with the what you talked about, the clairs, the clairaudience, the clairvoyance, all the different clair names that people could have for their psychic abilities, these are just describing different senses that people have. And most of the time, people have multiple of the clairs, you know. And so to list, I'm clairaudient, I'm clairsentient, I'm clairvoyant, it gets really, really, it just really defeats a purpose. It just sounds like ego to me when you start listing all these things behind your name.
I agree.
And so I'm less likely to do that and just call myself an empath. And, you know, I understand that there are different levels of being an empath, different awarenesses of being an empath. And just because somebody has been an empath for 30 years, longer than you have, doesn't mean that they're more sensitive than you are, or more aware, or more in control of that. I made the mistake of assuming that for a while, that people who were older, who were in a very conscious, driven, like, natural health food store manager, natural health store manager for 30 years and are an empath, I assumed they would have developed that. And so there was one particular case where I wanted to show this lady something, and I thought, oh, this will be really quick, because if she's an empath and she claimed to be an empath, I thought, well, I could just throw Jenna on the table, do a little demo, and she can tap into Jenna and feel it for herself. Right? It would take less than 10 minutes.
Right.
And to do a demonstration route that would normally take over an hour. Okay. So I thought, hey, this is great. But I threw Jenna on the table, did a little demo of a technique that I do, and I said, okay, you can just tap into her and see how it's feeling. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you just tap in and feel what she's feeling. And she didn't know how to do that. That was a completely foreign idea. She had never knew people could do that. I'm like, didn't you say that you were an empath? You know, and here I had assumed, because she was older and in this conscious work environment all these years, and that she was a Reiki master for all those years, that she would know how to do that, and she didn't. Nothing against her. She just didn't push it that far. You know? Yeah. And most people don't push it to the level that they could. Does that make sense?
I like how it does make sense, and I like how you stated different levels, because I feel like there's not actually different types of empaths. It's different levels that they have gotten to. You know, they've actually worked at it. I think if you're an empath, you have all the capabilities of these types that are listed. But it's a matter of honing your abilities and really working on them and learning to control them.
Yes.
And giving in to them, you know, and letting go of the fear and the anxiety and the doubts and all of that.
Exactly. Exactly. So one of the fears that I think people have, and I know the fear that I had, one of the biggest ones was, if I open myself to this, I'm going to feel more. That was the fear that I had. I don't want to feel more. It's mm-hmm. already very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's mm-hmm. I think that's the main fear that people have. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
And I see in the chat room, people are saying they've tried to shut theirs off. It can be really too overwhelming. And somebody said, or people think you are mimicking them when in fact you're just picking up on their energy level. And that's true too. Sometimes it makes people feel uncomfortable when you're that in tune to them. Somebody else in the chat room is also saying some are either not skilled enough or are false. You know, I don't know why somebody would really pretend to be an empath.
Ego.
I suppose.
Ego and attention and recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And one of the guests in the chat room is saying there are different levels, and then also there is honing that happens with each level. And that's true, too. That's true, too.
Yes, absolutely.
So I kind of steer away from going into detail about saying, oh, I'm a physical medical empath, you know,
right.
Or I'm an emotional empath, or, you know, I say I'm an empath. I can sense all the things that are listed on the various types of things that people list as empaths. I sense trees, I sense plants, I sense animals, I sense places, I sense past traumas that are like imprinted into like this, into that location. And sometimes it can be confusing. Why am I feeling this? You know, because there's nobody here. So, I mean, it took some time to figure those things out. But I think that if we assign a name to something and we say, this is what I am and not that, but I'm this, you're limiting how far you grow as an empath.
Yes, and people want to label everything.
Yes. Yes.
It's so annoying.
Yes. Yes. I agree. And, you know, I just kind of use this as an example. You know, I'm a massage therapist. I'm a reflexologist. I am an acupressure master. I am an Acumed therapist, ETPS therapist. I am, I can go on, and I'm a Reiki master teacher, Yusuishiki Ryoho, and Tibetan. I could go on and on and on and on listing all the things that I am, but you know, it sounds, you've never heard me say all that before, have you?
No.
In the years that you've known me. Why not? Because it's too much. All those things could have letters that go behind my name that just looks like a whole bunch of gibberish behind my name, and it's too much. Right?
Yes.
So this is part of why I think ego can be a part of that. When we try to define exactly what we are, we don't leave room for growth. Okay, so if you're going to define yourself as an empath, self-identify as an empath, I'm going to suggest that you understand that that encompasses all of them, and that you're open to receive all of that information at some point or another.
Right.
And you should, and the best advice I can give as an empath is to open yourself to those awarenesses. Learn a energy healing modality that'll help you to hone that, because I believe that all empaths, natural born empaths, are healers.
I agree.
Okay.
100%.
But then there's, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Like, I don't usually even call myself an empath. I usually just call myself a healer. I don't even usually say Reiki master. You know, I just usually say healer, because like you, like I was trained and attuned in Reiki, but Reiki didn't make me a healer. I was born a healer.
Right, right. Being a healer, part of that is, I believe, being an empath becomes part of that at some point. That's a way that people can sense, you know, is it absolutely having to be that way? No, it doesn't. But it's a way I sense others and figure out what they need from me.
Right.
I when I teach Reiki, all of my Reiki students become empaths. And because I have not had a lot of experience with other people that teach Reiki and their students, I didn't realize that that's not something that happens to everybody when they learn Reiki.
No.
And I'm like, all of my students become empaths. And we work through that. And I teach them how to embrace that and grow that. It's how they sense what's going on with their client when they're working on them. And to me, that's just part about being a healer. And it's how we sense things. And when I'm teaching Reiki, I actually first teach them a class that I came up with called Intuitive Ethics. Right. And they're not allowed to learn Reiki from me until they've taken Intuitive Ethics. Because I've heard horror stories from other people about people who were probing them and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, really? Oh, that's not okay. When an intuitive or a psychic or an empathic person is probing other people just for fun, to find out
without
what's going
on permission,
with them. Without their permission. That is rude. No wonder people are uncomfortable.
And even knowing it, you know, until they figure it out or, you know, sense it.
Mm-hmm.
That's total invasion of privacy.
Exactly.
It is not okay.
So, you know, I don't try to sense what other people are feeling unless I feel led to help them in some way.
Right.
If they're asking me for help or I'm feeling led to help this person, then I might open my awareness to them and sense, you know, what they might need as a little bit of help as I'm passing by them. If I'm just randomly picking up on them, I take that as a message that I'm supposed to do something for them because I'm not trying to tap into them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't mean I have to take over their life and fix them. A lot of empaths will get involved in that. They'll think they have to fix this person and mm-hmm. they have to fix it for them. Don't do that. That's something that gets us all in trouble.
It's also a way of people to avoid fixing their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's a little bit of a truth to that. Whatever you tell your other people, what advice you give them to help themselves.
Advice you need yourself.
Take that advice, listen to what you're saying and say, okay, how can I apply that to my life?
Right.
So, I mean, that's what I do when I'm giving advice to somebody. I'm like, okay, does this apply to me? And I honestly look for that because it's harder to
see
it.
Yeah.
It's harder to see that in yourself. And I have, you know, some people in my life where I'm like, okay, be honest with me. I can take it. You know, right. There's it, you know, I can, you know, from certain people who I really trust to look at me and tell me, you know, show me myself that I'm not seeing, you know, and I appreciate that from them. You know, some people would be very defensive.
I appreciate that as well. It's not always easy, but it definitely is a amazing tool to learn from and grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I call that mirrors all around. And so whatever you're seeing around, you know, look to see, is that a reflection of your current state, a past state that you may have been in a while back in some shape, way, or form? And if that's the case, if it's not currently true for you, but it was true for you in some way, shape, or form to some smaller or greater degree, Maybe this is an exercise for you in forgiveness, because as you forgive this person and accept them unconditionally, you're also telling yourself that this is something that is forgivable. In essence, you're forgiving yourself.
Yes, I was about to say, in order to forgive anyone else, you have to forgive yourself.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, those are just part of that journey.
Yep.
Of awakening, you know, it's all part of awakening.
Yes.
And becoming more and more consciously aware.
And self-forgiveness is, you know, the first part of healing, of any kind of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But a lot of times, you know, you don't see that you've done this yourself. It's harder to see that.
Right.
You really have to look.
Yeah.
And if you make that a habit of looking, okay, have I done this in the past in any way, shape, or form? It doesn't mean that you have to, like, be buddy-buddy with these people.
Right.
It's an exercise in forgiveness, you know. You can forgive somebody from afar and never talk to them again.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but in doing so, you forgive yourself.
But forgiveness is absolutely necessary. No matter how horrible someone has done you, if you hold on to anger or resentment or hate, you're not harming anyone else but yourself. That anger that you're holding on to is not harming them in any way, but it is harming you mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, spiritually. It is shorting. It will even, like, it to when it gets to a certain extent, it can even shorten your lifespan.
Exactly. I totally agree. It can be very hard on a person. Very hard. These are all just parts of becoming more aware of that. But I'd like to, sometimes the advanced truths of things are actually very simple.
I'm so glad you said that. I can't agree more. Like, people want to overcomplicate everything, especially when it comes to spirituality, you know, and most things and most solutions and steps and guides, you know, methods are simple.
Yes, they are. But I'm going to take it a little bit of a different way. I'm going to ask you a question, Clayton. When there's like a tsunami, you know, a big wave that's coming to an island, what kinds of living things are there when the wave hits?
I mean, when the wave hits, it's, you know, anything and anyone that lives around the coast, you know, is going to be there. I mean, for the wild animals have gotten out of there,
yeah.
You know, because the wild animals, they are in tune with nature. They know to leave. They know something's coming. The people that are not the people animals that have been their pets, basically, they're not as in tune with nature. They don't feel the vibrations. They don't feel the energy shift. They don't feel the earth shake, even if it's not a quake. They don't feel it. They're not in tune with it. So they don't know to get out of there and you know, save their life's in danger, basically.
Right, right. And so I like to refer to it as Earth's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Mother Earth's Wi-Fi is sending out a signal saying, there is a wave coming towards this beach, get out of the way. Okay.
Yeah.
All of the animals leave if they're not caged or chained. They leave. They go inland. What do they sense? I don't know. Do they sense a big wave is coming, or do they just sense it's time to go this way? It's hard to say for sure. But they leave. And the only ones still standing there are humans going, oh, look, the water's going out, and here comes a big wave. And they're still just standing there.
Right.
And the animals are long gone. Okay.
Right.
So they're not. I find it interesting that humans are the, and not all humans. There are humans that are tapped into this Mother Earth Wi-Fi. Is what I call it. That interconnection that makes them more aware of what's happening. Okay. animals are naturally connected to this, and humans are animals. We're supposed to be connected to this.
Yes, but we've lost. Okay.
Even in the late 60s, Dr. Cleve Baxter was the one who developed the lie detector test, the polygraph machine, and he started doing experiments on plants in his lab, hooking them up to this polygraph machine and testing plants, and they were reacting to what others were feeling, other life forms were feeling around them, reacting to the pain that other plants are having, reacting to the death of little brine shrimp in another room that they can't even see if they had eyeballs. You know, they could obviously sense something was happening and nobody was even there. Right. So, I mean, this shows that being an empath, or what he called primary perception, happens on the smallest of scale and the simplest of life forms. So why, as we humans, if we think we're at the top of the chain here, why are we so unaware of that for the most part? What happened here? This is a good question, right?
Humans disconnected. Humans were disconnected by control, by governments, and I may get some, you know, not everyone may want to hear this, but organized religion. They shut it down because it's easier to control the masses if they can't see through the lies and all of the crap.
Right. So in that, I'm going to say that there's an increase in number of people on the planet that are becoming empaths. Whether they were born sensitive or they're becoming sensitive later in life, there's this awakening happening that are awakening people to becoming empaths. And you know what I'm saying? This is a natural state of being that everything else has. This is the way we are supposed to be. It is not a curse. I've heard so many empaths talking about being an empath as if it were a curse to feel the emotions that other people feel, to feel the physical pains and ailments that other people feel, to feel the trees and the plants and the animals and their pain and their worries and their fears, to feel what happened in the land from before. These are all things that are possible, and they are a natural state of being that all living things have a connection to. This is Mother Earth's Wi-Fi. This is a natural state of being. And when we open ourselves to knowing that we are just connecting to that constant flow of information, it's a beautiful gift. We just need to learn how to develop that in a way that doesn't make us feel like we are being controlled by it, or that we are feeling a victim to it. And that is easily done once you know how to do it. Yeah. You know, so get a coach who can coach you on that. It's very quick. You know, learn a healing modality and get an empathic coach. You know, I do that for people. I tell people how to do that all the time. And it's very simple once you know how to do it. It's very simple. Very simple. So, you know, I'm seeing people talking about forgiveness still in the chat room. So we're going to touch on that a little bit more when we come back from the break, because I don't want to leave that just sitting out there. Because I am going to say that forgiving someone doesn't mean you accept them and that it's okay what they did. Forgiving someone is saying you don't get to have a place. That icky feeling that you gave me doesn't get to be inside me forever.
Right.
Basically, I release that and I release you. You know, by forgiving you, I don't keep that inside of myself. And I'm sorry that you are feeling so tortured inside that you continue to do that. I'm sorry. It's like feeling compassion for somebody and understanding that people who are harming others are doing that because they are feeling tortured within themselves in some way. You know, that's the easiest way that I looked at it when I was going through that learning process of how do I let this go? You know, and it was a trial and error thing. How do I look at this differently? And, you know, I was really trying to figure it all out. It took me a long, long, long time to figure all that out. And even after I figured it out, it was harder to do it every time. It was harder to practice it, even though, you know, but here's the key that I figured out.
That's frustrating.
It is frustrating, but here's the key that I figured out. Once you say, oh, I get it now. Once you have these aha moments and you go, oh, I get it now. You should expect a test on that to show up at your door, like a final exam. Okay.
Right.
So I realized that after I go, oh, I get it now, somebody would wind up in my face yelling at me. And, you know, it's instinct to, oh, you know, react and just as you always have. And then later you're like, oh, crap, I didn't react the way I wanted to react. I failed that test. Once you start seeing them as tests. You know, when you said, oh, I get it now, that's saying, hey, I'm ready for my final. Bring it on. Okay, so I started to do this. When somebody, when I say, oh, I get it now, and then my test would arrive, I'd really try hard to remember that this is a test. So in my head, instead of hearing them screaming, I'd go, this is a test. This is only a test. That's what I would hear in my head. So that I could go, okay, don't react to what they're saying. React to this test. This is a test. Okay. Don't take it personally. This is your test. Try to pass it this time. And after you've passed the test, and, you know, sometimes you might have the test again, you know, a couple more times. Once you really, really pass it, it's like you're freed of it. It's really, really a cool thing. And at that, we are at the half of the hour, so we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. Please stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files, only on Para-X.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is The Journey Radio Show. When we are not live, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com, or please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/The Journey on Radio. And I'm back. We're talking about empaths. I've got Clayton Crawford on with me tonight. And hi, Clayton. It's such a treat to have you on. And people in the chat room are like, oh, I hope Clayton will be a regular on again. And I see somebody said, we have a lot to look forward to with your show. So that's good. Thank you, everybody, for that support. And so, again, you know, we were talking about forgiveness, and I didn't expect the show to take that turn, but it did. but again, that's part of the growth of being an empath.
Yeah.
I think that when people are empathic, when empathic and being an empath are a little bit different, I think, or empathy is different than being an empath.
Empathy is different than being an empath. Absolutely.
Yes. They're two different things. But I when my Reiki students start to feel things of other people in the room, and I'm not picking up on it, and only this one person is picking up on this other person. I've had students that have tried to like move away from the person that they're sensing, trying to get away from it. And like, aren't you feeling that? I'm like, no, I'm not feeling that, but it's not for me to feel right now. Apparently it's for you to feel it. And I started to, you know, I learned so much from my students. Yeah. Isn't that funny? I learned so much from my students by watching them react to situations and realizing the truth of it is they were feeling things of other people to help them to see how other people feel. And it's not just something to get to run away from. It's something that you should address.
Right.
Right. And so sometimes when we feel what other people feel, when we step outside of the being personally involved in it and be objective, become that objective observer so that you can see it without that personal involvement, you see it so much more clearly. And so when somebody is purposefully hurting somebody else, I came to the conclusion that this person is much more tortured inside than I am. We all feel tortured at some point in time for things that we've experienced in life, hardships that we've had, things that we feel haven't gone right for us, okay? In some way, shape, or form, people have a story to tell. And sometimes they don't tell it, but they still feel it, okay? So when we feel what other people feel as an empath, it's an insight to seeing, oh, maybe this is why that person is crabby. Maybe this is why that person isn't being very nice. Okay? I'm going to give you another example. I was at a shopping center one day, busy shopping center. I was in line to pay. I was in a store where they have 20 items or less aisles, and then they have regular aisles, right? I was not in a 20 items or less aisle, but it was a short counter, okay? And the lady behind the till was a nice older lady. And when I came up and started putting my things on the counter, she kind of snipped at me, and I was like, whoa. And I thought, what's wrong here? And, you know, as I tried to figure out what was wrong, I could sense that she was a nice lady. So why was she being snippy with me? This didn't make sense. And so I said to her, I hope you have a better day. And she's like, what? What do you mean? And I said, I hope you're feeling better soon, or that you're having a better day soon. She goes, why? I can tell something's bothering you. I just hope it gets better. And she's like, well, you know, when people come to this short counter and with all that stuff, you know, I always have to tell them to take the bags, and I don't want to be rude to them and tell them to take the bags, and they don't take them fast enough. And I don't want to be rude to people. Well, she was rude to me because of that. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize this is 20 items or less. And she goes, it's not. I'm like, oh. And that was my way of telling her, you are being rude, without saying you're being rude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And her defenses came down, and she realized what was going on. I didn't even have to tell her. She realized the situation.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people will just react to people who are being rude without any thought, why are they being like that? And normally it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah, I'm not as patient as you when it comes to people.
Really? Come on, Clay.
Not at all.
No. Well, you know, another way that, and there's different kinds of healers too, to be perfectly honest. I'm obviously one that gets down in there with people that when I meet people that are coming into my life, I always think that we have something to offer to each other.
Yes.
Does that make sense? They have something to share with me that will improve me, and I have something to share with them that will improve them. And, you know, it without having to probe them, without having to look into them, without their permission, it becomes very apparent very quickly what those things are that they could use assistance with without having to use any of those gifts whatsoever. And so I accept people as they are. And, You know, I gently try to show them a different way sometimes without overstepping my bounds, unless they're asking me to. But then, you know, if it ends badly, it ends badly. And, you know, I feel like, well, I've done what I was supposed to do for them. You know, it's up to them whether or not they want to learn from it or not. And, you know, we've given to each other what we had to share. That's it. It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
No, it doesn't.
So, but a lot of times when empaths connect with other people, they end up in situations where, you know, it ends badly. Because it doesn't always work to help people either. Even in just regular relationships, it doesn't always work. You know, that people have their own pains and their own things that they're going through. And, you know, you can love people and accept them as they are. That's all you can do. And you can either accept them as they are in your life or not in your life. Either way, you can love them from afar. Yes. Right?
Or forgive them and leave them alone.
Yes. And Tink is in the chat room saying, if they trigger you, it shows you where you need to grow. And that is true. That is true.
So true. So true.
Yes. I think. Yes. You think what?
You know, I said hi, Tink.
Oh, I was like, okay. I was waiting for your thoughts. Sorry.
But no, she's definitely right. Her and I talk a lot about that in depthly, actually.
Yes, yes. So that was a whole area that I didn't expect to go into, but here we are. It went there. So, you know, we only have like 18 minutes left of the show. So there are some other areas that I'd like to go into if we feel like we've covered this part sufficiently,
which
I think we have. So, you know, one of the things that I realized that people often don't understand that you can do as an empath, it can be kind of fun. And I discovered them kind of by accident. You know, I was doing a Reiki circle with my students in one of their basements one day, and one of them had this big aquarium with two fish in it. And as we did this Reiki circle, I all of a sudden became one with the fish in the aquarium. And I could feel the cold water going in and out of my gills and how refreshing it was to feel the oxygenating my body through the gills and how wonderful that felt. And I was like, wow, this is great. You know, and that was like the first time I had felt what it felt like to be a fish. And it was so funny because after we were done with our Reiki circle and we shared what we experienced, I shared about being one with the fish. And the lady who lived there started to laugh because she says, you know, we were given these fish because somebody was moving and couldn't take care of them. So they came named already. And one of them's name was Jen. So, I mean, that was really funny. So I was becoming one with the Jen fish. That was hilarious. That was the first time that I really experienced being a fish and like really physically feeling being that fish and how good it felt. Okay. And I've had weird experiences as I opened my awareness to tapping into animals. You know, I don't feel like that's probing when you tap into animals so much because I'm always like extending love to them and you know, nobody ever feels like they're being violated like that. Like humans could feel violated perhaps. But you know, one of my favorite things is to look at a hummingbird feeder and say, how does the hummingbird feel today? And open my awareness to wrap around that hummingbird and to become one with that hummingbird and literally feel what it's like to be a hummingbird. You know, whether you feel you tap into the emotions of the hummingbird or you tap into the physical feeling of being a hummingbird or the, you know, the absolute joy or satisfaction of this is really good food. You know, it's really, really, hummingbirds are one of my favorite things to feel. They feel like
I love them.
And I also encourage people, you can do this with videos. You can tap into animals with videos. Watch a video. Turn the sound off. Go in with silence, because sound will distract you from feeling. So turn the sound off. I had this conversation with someone before, and he loved the sound, but I said, try it without the sound. And he was like, oh my gosh, it's so different. Yes, it is. So, you know, try both ways. Play with it. Have fun with it. This is a way we can expand our awareness and have fun at the same time. And then I had a weird experience, and I'll share it with you, because I still am laughing about this. You know, driving through Minnesota country roads, right? A lot of times in the summertime, you will see a lot of dead raccoon or dead skunks, okay? They got hit by cars. I always wondered, how are they always getting hit by cars? And I've seen them run up to the road. They don't even look. They just keep going. And I actually had a skunk that was laying in the middle of the road on the lines one time. And it looked like it was dead already. And as I was driving up and approaching it at night, my headlights are on, it actually got up and ran straight for my car with its mouth open like, rah! And I'm like, no! And I couldn't avoid it because it's now running at me. I was probably rabid. The skunk was probably had rabies, you know, yes. That it was attacking my car. And it did not win. And I was just heartbroken because that's the first time I killed anything big like that. You know, I remember the first time I hit a bird with my car. I cried and cried. But, you know, skunks on the side of the road. Well, then you see all the birds that come on the side of the road, the scavengers that eat those animals that are dead on the side of the road. And one day I was driving along and I'm seeing these crows. And even some eagles and ravens. And they were feeding on a dead skunk on the side of the road. And as I passed them, I tasted the skunk.
Yeah.
Okay, you would think yuck, but I didn't feel yuck. It tasted good. Because I was sensing it through the senses of the bird that was eating it. And to that bird, it was good. It was a very spicy flavor. It was yummy. And I'm like, okay, this is bizarre. The taste of it stayed in my mouth for a long time. And it was good. Because I was sensing it as this bird that was like, yes, this is a treat. They love it, that spicy, extra spicy meat. I'm like, really? Who would have thought that? You know? Who would think that? I mean, this is fun.
Yeah.
So you get what I'm saying. I mean, it's a really bizarre journey to open your awareness to things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but who would
have
thought
that? It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Right, right. And I didn't do it on purpose, but it just happened and I laugh about it because it's funny. And it really shocked me that it tasted so good. Bizarre. I'll never forget that. Never, ever.
That is bizarre.
I know, but I thought I better share it. I see Audrey is saying in the chat room that her mom connects to trees and can feel their emotions, especially where they are being harvested for wood. I totally know what you're saying, Audrey. And they don't die right away when they get cut down either. So, I mean, I'll go out there and sing to them after they've been cut down if I come up upon a tree that's recently cut down. I've had trees call out to me from 20 miles away after they were cut down. A cedar tree called. I didn't hear, Jen, come get me. I didn't hear that. I just felt called to go to this place and I didn't know why. And it was an overwhelming feeling. And I had been looking for cedar trees because it's something they use at the Native American sweat lodge in town here. And they were looking for more cedar. And so as I was driving through Minnesota, I was looking for the cedar to harvest a little bit of cedar for them. And I felt really, really called to this place, and I got there, and it was empty. They had completely cleared out this campground, which was odd, because they had ones that stayed there year-round. And they were renovating it and adding new spaces, and I saw new pathways that went into the woods, and I'm like, oh, I get really weird about pathways. I need to go see where they go. So I went running down there to see, and here they cleared this whole area of trees, and on top of this big burn pile was a cedar tree.
Wow.
One cedar tree. And I'm like, wow. There it is. It doesn't want to be on the burn pile. It wants to be used for something else. So at that time, I had a minivan. I laid all my seats flat, and I shoved the whole tree in the back of my car, and it came all the way to the front. But I got it in there. And I took it, and they used it, and it was good. So, I mean, it wanted to, I feel 100% that it wanted to be used for ceremony and it had a purpose like that. It wanted to be used like that.
Yeah.
Makes so, sense. You know, trees are very, very wonderful beings. They really, really are. And about a year later, the sweat lodge in town here had run out of cedar from that one cedar tree that I brought to them. And they called me that morning and said, do you have any more cedar? And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you gave us that cedar. I said, oh, I gave you all of it except for a little bit. And so later that day, I was walking around the block and I come around. I was walking my dog around the block and I come around the other side of the house. And there is a cedar tree cut up on the berm leaning against a tree. I'm like, where did this come from? It's in my yard. And then I rent a space in a house. And my landlord lives in the other space. And I went and knocked on the door. I'm like, this is a cedar tree, right? Because it was cut up in pieces. He's like, yeah. And I go, where did it come from? He said, well, it was in the backyard. It got really damaged in that windstorm. I had to take it down. I'm like, I didn't even know there was a cedar tree back there. Because the fence is so tall and I'd never been in the backyard. So I'm like, oh, would it be okay if I had somebody come and collect this? And he said, sure. You know, so I called them to come get it and I went back out there and I was waiting for them to get there. And I was collecting some cedar for myself and singing to the tree, wishing it a good journey, giving it a prayer and, you know, easing it into that journey. And, all of a sudden I became aware that the tree that it was leaning against was afraid. It was afraid that it was going to be next.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, 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 you're fine. This only happened because this one was so damaged in that windstorm. Nobody else is going to get that cut down. You're okay. You know, and it was quite shocking about how afraid that tree was that it might be next. Isn't that bizarre?
It is bizarre, but they have the same emotions and feelings and all of that, fears, anxieties like we do. People just aren't connected to feel it.
Right, right.
Or most, you know.
Yeah. So opening your awareness to these things is a good thing. And it can be It can be a fun experience. You can also when you embrace it as a gift, you gain more control of it.
Definitely.
It's not a curse. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop when he says, it's not a tumor. You know, because, it's not a curse.
when you embrace it, you are overcoming your fears, you know. Because every person who's gifted, I don't care, they can say they don't, they have a fear of their gifts, of being abnormal, or a fear of what they're fully capable of.
A fear of what they're fully capable of. I don't get that. I hear people talk about a fear of being successful, a fear of knowing what they're fully capable of, a fear of being too powerful. Yes. These are things I don't understand. I don't understand these concepts. Because a lot of times what I feel from people is a fear of not being good enough. Yes. Or somebody seeing what they really are. I'm going to tell you right now, people. People think they hide their bad stuff from people, but they wear it on the outside.
Yep.
They wear it on the outside and plain for everyone to see. And what they're really doing is hiding the good stuff from themselves. So
amazing, amazing point.
A true healer will look inside somebody who's struggling like that and find their good stuff and try to help them bring that out. They don't focus on their bad stuff. People who complain about other people all the time, you know, are focusing on the negative. We should be focusing on the positive because there are positive things there. Does that make sense?
There are, absolutely.
I've learned that when you focus on the bad stuff too much, the good stuff goes invisible. And it doesn't mean it's not there. It just means you're not seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we were playing a football game, I'd be like running out in the field and thinking the quarterback's never going to throw you the ball. But if you're never looking in that direction, you're not going to see when they do throw it to you. You totally miss it. You won't even know it was thrown. You're not going to catch the ball either.
No.
So look for the good stuff and you're more apt to see it. And it's, I'm going to say that as a journey of, through awakening, these are things we have to coach ourselves to do. It's a hard habit to break, to look for the bad stuff. It's a hard habit. You have to really consciously force yourself to say, if I'm looking at the bad stuff, what is the good stuff I might be missing? Because there might be something here I'm missing that I'm not seeing. I don't want to miss that. So you got to force yourself to look for it.
So true.
Yeah.
And most people don't see, most people don't realize when you're seeing, you know, the ugly in others, most of the time or all of the time, it is a reflection of what you see in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're projecting and reflecting.
Yep, that's true too. That's true too. And I've, you know, it's an interesting thing to see people and accept them for how they are, and see it. You don't have to probe someone or look inside them to know. They show you very quickly on the outside what you might be able to help them with.
Yeah.
You know, in their exchange of, you each have something to share with each other. You know, and everyone teaches you something. And you know, yeah. I hear a lot of people blaming their parents for their life or whatever. And I'm going to say this. Parents are our teachers, and they're always really good teachers because they're either showing you how to be or how you don't want to be. Either way, they're being a great teacher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely. And
some people learn better by someone showing them how they don't want to be. It affects them great more, and they go out of their way not to be that way themselves. So that's the kind of teacher they needed.
Agreed. Right? Right. Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Talitha?
Is that Talitha?
Talitha. She's in the chat room and she says, Clay must see himself as gorgeous. He always sees or tries to see the good in everyone. That's cute.
I'm not as good with that as some of you. Sometimes I do see the ugly, and I do steer clear of them altogether. When I get that vibe that I just, you know, someone is just not who anyone that I want to my energy intertwined with or connected with in any way or affected by in any way, then I do steer clear. You know, and a lot of us healers and empaths can be magnets for very low vibration, you know, people that are mentally unstable, emotionally unstable, you know, even crazy at some degrees. And, you know, I used to struggle with that, and I eventually told the universe, no more, you know, no more. I don't want that. And like, I program my energy to repel that. But yeah, I used to get ugly, when they would just keep coming and they wouldn't get a hint, like, you know, leave me alone. Yeah, but now I don't have that problem as much. I mean, I do still attract them to a degree, but it doesn't get that far. Like, we don't become friends and all of that. I just, like, I see it for what it is, and it doesn't get that far, you know, if I even encounter them.
I totally understand that. I get that. I get that, yeah. What you're saying with that too, you know, and that music in the background means our show is coming to an end very soon. Clayton, can you tell people where they can find you if they want to find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Clayton Crawford. You can find the Legion of Light, my team. You can find us on Twitter, which I mainly operate from Facebook. I don't have an actual website for my team yet. We haven't created one, but we do intend to do that within the future.
Awesome, awesome. And he is Clayton Crawford, everyone. And I'm Jen Cruz, and this is The Journey Radio Show. You can find us at thejourneyradioshow.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Journey on Radio. Tune in next week, Wednesday night. We'll see you then. Good night, everyone.